Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे हरे
Thank you. जय ओम विष्णु पाद परमहंस सफल बलाज आचार्य अस्तत सत श्री श्रीमद डिवाइन ग्रेस शिलाभे चरणरविंद शिल भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी महाराज शिल प्रभुपाद की जय नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की जय प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की जय समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय गौर प्रेम नंदी हरि हरि बोल All glories to the assembly glories. All glories to the assembly glories. All glories to the assembly glories. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Guranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. So I wish you a wonderful good morning for it and very good start into the day, the sixth day of our Japa and Kirtan course, or Kirtan course actually. Today I will be reading for all of us a text which points at the essence of the teachings of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. I think you can already by now know what the essence might be, Kirtan, of course, but it's nice to approach this always from new points of view. I'm hearing there is a ghost in the machine. In other words, is this a sound? Is this from outside or is this from inside?
It's from inside.
Is it the
it's the ventilation that's...
We have to live with this. Good. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Eta bali ka shloka shikaila more. Bhagavata tirasara. Bhagavata tirasara. Vale, vale, vale.
Vale, vale, vale. Vale, vale,
Eta vali eka shloka shikai l'amore.
Eta vali eka shloka shikai l'amore.
Bhagavate rasarai vale, vale, vale. Shloka shikai l'amore.
Eta vali eka shloka shikai l'amore.
Bhagavate rasarai vale vale vale.
Bhagavate rasarai vale vale vale.
Yes.
Eta vali eka shloka shikai l'amore.
Eta vali eka shloka shikai l'amore.
Bhagavate rasarai vale vale vale.
Bhagavate rasarai vale vale vale.
Mata par mata Sati, maybe?
Eka Bari, Eka Sloka, Sikai Lamore.
Eka Bari, Eka Sloka, Sikai Lamore.
Etabali,
Etabali,
saying this. Eka,
Eka,
one. Shloka,
Shloka,
verse.
Shikaila,
Shikaila, has taught. More,
More,
unto me.
Bhagavate,
Oh Srimad Bhagavatam.
Sada.
Essence.
This is
Bale. He said,
Bale,
Bale,
Bale, Bale,
again and again.
Again and again.
Mm-hmm. I should give you the context so that the verse is easy, more comprehensible. This is from a discussion which took actually place between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his exalted spiritual master Ishvara Puri. After initiation into the Hare Krishna mantra, Mahaprabhu, or Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, showed signs of something which looked to the outsiders to be a great inner disturbance. He danced sometimes, he laughed without reason, and he cried. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was worried. He plays this role of an ordinary conditioned soul, and he is worried. Imagine, some of us would actually now get up and start to dance in the class. Maybe even someone who was born in Belgium and who usually doesn't do such things. Then he would laugh without any reason. And the next moment, sit down on a chair and cry. Liters of water. We would report this to Manohar. Manohar would report it to the mental institution. There would be an investigation. And then imagine further, the person in charge of the mental institution would say, this is not something which is defunctional. It is the highest form of ecstasy in Krishna consciousness. You, Hare Krishna, don't know your own scriptures. You brought him to the mental institute, but it's ecstasy, divine ecstasy. Imagine this scenario. I'm saying this scenario because I think we in our movement would be surprised if someone would show these manifestations. And so was 500 years ago Gauranga Mahaprabhu. He was surprised. He thought, is this normal? Is this activity which I'm showing, is this desired? And he went to his spiritual master and asked for a clarification. And then this verse comes. Saying this, my spiritual master taught me a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. He said, it is the essence of all the Bhagavatam's instructions. Therefore he recited this verse again and again. Would you like to know the verse?
Yeah.
I think it's quite interesting. Evam ratasva priyanama kirtya jatanurago durta citta uchai hasatyatoro ditirot gayanti unmadamandrityati lokabaya. When a person is actually advanced and takes pleasure in chanting the holy name of the Lord who is very dear to him, he is agitated and loudly chants the holy name. He also laughs, he cries, he becomes agitated and he chants just like a madman, not caring for outsiders. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in other words, my dear son, his Virtue Master said, my dear child, actually, this is very good that you actually have achieved the perfection of chanting the holy name. So Mahaprabhu goes on. I will just read a little bit more because it's a very significant section. He said, I firmly believe in these words of my spiritual master, and therefore I always chant the holy name of the Lord, alone and sometimes in the association of devotees. That holy name of Lord Krishna sometimes causes me to chant and dance, and therefore I chant and dance. Please do not think that I intentionally do it. No, I do it automatically. So, this is a very long purport, and I would like to summarize for you the first section of the purport. Prabhupada here makes the point that to have faith in the words of one's spirit master and to follow them is guaranteeing us that the essence of the Vedic knowledge becomes automatically revealed. It seems that serving the spiritual master is necessary if we want to bring the knowledge which we have heard alive in our life. If we want that this becomes not just a philosophical explanation, but something which we also experience as truth. So this was the first paragraph, and then Prabhupada continues. It is to be understood that when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted and danced, he did so by the influence of the pleasure potency of the spiritual world. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never considered the holy name of the Lord to be a material vibration, nor does any pure devotee mistake the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra to be a material musical manifestation. I will jump again over a section because it's so long. By chanting the holy name, Lord Chaitanya continued, I became almost mad. However, after inquiring for my spiritual master, I have come to the conclusion that instead of striving for achievement for principles of religiosity, dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, which means four principles of religiosity, dharma, economic development, artha, sense gratification, and liberation. Instead of going for those, it is better if somehow or other one develops transcendental love of Godhead. That is the greatest success in life. One who has attained love of Godhead chants and dances by his nature, not caring for the public. This stage of life is known as Bhagavata Jivan, or the life of a devotee. How nice. Bhagavata Jivan. Actually, very nice expression. The life of a devotee. What is it again? It is when one chants and dances It is not really caring what outsiders think, if they criticize one or praise one. No, this is our life. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, I never chanted and danced to make an artificial show. I dance and chant because I firmly believe in the words of my spiritual master. Although the Mayavadi philosophers do not like this chanting and dancing, I nevertheless perform it on the strength of his words. Therefore, it is to be concluded that I deserve very little credit for these activities of chanting and dancing, for they are being done automatically by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is in autobiographical description of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He describes to us what he experienced when he chanted the holy name in all earnestness. He describes in brief that he came to a state in his in God realization, which is called bhava, or ecstatic love of Godhead, and he had these symptoms. I was thinking about the lecture of Mahatma Prabhu, where he discussed about how the devotees went to Surat with Srila Prabhupada. This was when Srila Prabhupada took his Western devotees for the first time to India, and the Indians became aware that there is a movement of Vaishnava Dharma outside of India, and they were responded to this very respectfully, very joyfully, and very moved. They really appreciated that Westerners, whom they looked up for, because Westerners are more rich than the people in the Asiatic countries. So they appreciated that the Westerners had left all their wealth behind, and that they were now visiting them and chanted in the streets. Every day the newspaper carried the exact description where the devotees would chant in their town, which street corner, or which monument. And the citizens of Surat, who were very pious people, all came out of their houses with garlands, flowers, and different gifts which they offered to the devotees, because they worshipped them. Some even had aratis and performed aratis to the Sankirtan party. For them, it was something incomprehensible. Westerners have taken to our Hindu religion. That's how they felt, and they were very, very happy. It's something like if at this moment the Queen of Netherlands comes dancing into the temple and accompanied by the high ministers of the Belgium thing and Belgium Parliament, or what you have here, and the European Parliament members came, Angela Merkel and so on, and they would all come to Radhadesh in one Sankirtan party. I think we would give them a happy welcome. We would garland them. We would make sure they would all drink Charanamrita, and we would inform Syamalika the mother of Manu to please cook an excellent boule or whatever they call these small things which taste like a preparation from the heavenly planets. You might have seen that, like little breads like this. So the citizens of Surat felt exactly like that in relationship to the Western devotees. They felt very honored, and they wanted to make sure that they had a welcome. And in the newspaper, they carried one article. It's amazing. They have attained the highest states of ecstasy. Now, ecstatic love of Godhead is something which is not cheap. It's something which comes after a good deal of maturation in our consciousness. And I think we still look in Radhadesh for a devotee who is naturally ecstatic and shows the 8 symptoms of Baba. Maybe we don't even look. We have given up looking for such signs of spiritual achievement. I know it. We in the movement don't really talk that it is possible for one of us to achieve this. It is when there is something we are highly, highly cautious. We think, well, this must be Sahajiya. It can't be real. It's a false imitation. That's how we feel. So, because it's a very, very high state of purification of the heart, and it is not at all cheap. It is not something which happens every day, like the postman coming and delivering the post. It's not that ecstasy comes in this way so easily. So when this newspaper article was published, one of Prabhupada's godbrothers thought, that can't be ecstasy, come on, you journalist, you don't know what is Baba. And he wrote him a highly theological letter saying, it is not ecstasy. They are good-hearted people, but it's not ecstasy. And Prabhupada was informed about this letter, which was published in the newspaper, which was a refutal. Refutal means a discreditation that this is ecstasy. And he read this letter and he said, no, our devotees experience ecstasy. And now, what are we to make of this? Did they really experience ecstasy? How did Prabhupada mean this? I personally have two comments. Prabhupada is very, very informed what is ecstasy and what are the 8 symptoms of ecstasy. First of all, I saw that he displayed these symptoms at one occasion, no, two occasions I saw this, and two or even three, I'm not sure. Two I know for sure. It was, one was in India, the other in Paris. And maybe more, but two for sure. So did he think we are on the same level? I doubt that he although he always thought the best of all of us, he was also sometimes critical. He said, you Americans are only good for quarreling and sex life. He was critical of his disciples. He was not mushy, mushy, mushy. He was a teacher. I know in my relationship to Prabhupada, he was training me. If any one of you would meet Prabhupada and get such intense training, I think you would burn into a pile of ashes and we would have to send you back to your mama in America. Pile of ashes. Intense. Prabhupada still maintained that this was ecstasy. And I only have two explanations why he said it was ecstasy. One is that Srila Prabhupada considered that when a devotee really chants and is absorbed in chanting the holy name, which was happening to us, and is happening every day in the kirtan course or in the evening when there are the evening kirtans, you all are very absorbed. And this absorption in Krishna consciousness can be called in some ways a very high exalted state. How is this so? It is a gift to you by Krishna himself. I was thinking about this yesterday or the day before yesterday in the kirtan course in the library when you chanted so nicely and very, very absorbed. I thought Krishna has been very kind to all of us to give us this gift. It's something like the beginner's enthusiasm. We are beginners on the path, but we are gifted and granted with some enthusiasm. That's my first explanation. It's like a beginner's ecstasy, which the devotees felt. And another explanation which I have is something which we all feel at times in kirtan. When there is kirtan, we feel that we are lifted for a moment out of our ordinary consciousness. We can see this by seeing that we started to chant, and without even noticing it, 2 hours have passed, and we don't know what, how did they pass? Do we have this experience sometimes that it's time runs so fast, and you cannot keep track of it? That means really you are perceiving time differently. And you, why do you perceive time differently? Because you are in a different consciousness now, and you have been raised. Krishna, I like this very much, that Mahatma Prabhu explained this of Srila Prabhupada. Next time I meet him, I will ask him how he understands Prabhupada's comment in this regard. I'm very curious to see. I think he must have thought about it very deeply. We will hear about this. Fine. I wanted to spend the remainder of this class with 2 things. I wanted to describe to you an extraordinary result which awaits those who chant. The Bhagavatam says, chanting the holy names of Krishna is the essential teaching of the entire Bhagavatam and even of the entire corpus of Vedic scriptures. Now, when in our tradition such a claim is made that this is the essence, then proofs have to be given in order to convince a doubter. You know, the scriptures always work like this. They make a statement, and then they raise a doubt to the statement. And then they give arguments, you could say, and considerations, which completely dismantle the doubt, so that everyone understands the statement of the scripture is clear. Do you understand this methodology? I could, for instance, say a statement like, this kirtan course is nice. Then I can doubt it. I can raise doubts. Well, I saw some members of the Kirtan course falling asleep during the Kirtan. I saw also that I don't want to make you upset by putting now many doubts. I could immediately, this is my nature, produce 20 heavy doubts. I won't do this here. Then, if I want to keep my original statement, the Kirtan course is nice, I would have to give 20 more convincing arguments which dismantle all the doubts. And then I would have made a good case. So one argument which is used or must be used in the scripture to establish a statement like Kirtan is the essence of the Bhagavatam and gives the highest success in spiritual life. One argument is there must be a result in doing Kirtan which is not to be achieved by any other process than Kirtan. You follow? Am I clear or is it too? It is clear. Good. So the unheard result of Kirtan is explained like this. Normally, a person who has karma, has parapta karma, which is manifested, has to go through it. What is manifested karma? Manifested karma, for instance, is the body which I have. That's a result of my karma. It's called a parapta karma. Another manifested karma is a disease. Like some of the Radhadeshvasis have illnesses, which we can see. It's a manifested result. Or, for instance, you can have a speech defect, which is there that you stutter and cannot speak. That's parapta karma. Or you can have a certain character which you cannot stop. That's also parapta karma. So the Bhagavatam says, when you chant, even the manifested karma changes. Here's a verse. Aho vatasva pachoto gariyam yasji vagreva tate namatupyam te pustapaste juhuvu shashnuaya brahmanuchu namagrinantiyete. It says, oh, how glorious are they whose tongues are chanting your holy name. Even if they are born in the family of dog eaters, such persons are worshipable. Persons who chant the holy name of your lordship must have executed all kinds of austerities and fire sacrifices and achieved all the good manners of the Aryans. To be chanting the holy name of your lordship, they must have bathed at holy places of pilgrimage, studied the Vedas, and fulfilled everything required. So this verse explains that the holy name destroys parapta karma. Other processes can only destroy karma which is not yet manifested, which is going to come in some future. But the holy name can destroy parapta karma. The case here is someone who is born in a low-class family where they eat, amongst other things, the hind legs of dogs. That's a particular dirty thing because they don't use any hygienic forms of toiletry, and the hind leg is always smeared with this dog stool. And there are people who clean it quickly and boil it and eat it, and it's people who do this are from not such a cultured background, we could say. And they are never allowed to do priestly functions and do spiritual activities which require training, like fire sacrifices, etc. But if such a person from such a background, maybe Burma, where they do this and eat such things, or Burma, where was this? I have to. Thailand. Yes, we can smell. We have to just remember the smell of cooked dogs, and then we remember the country where we smelled it. So Thailand, it is available. But if such a person who does this starts with the chanting the holy name, everything changes. And we have to tell them, but you are very exalted. You have done everything which is required. And you are invited to do now a yajna. There's another verse which is quoted. Suta Goswami was born in difficult circumstances. Let us say like this to be polite. So Suta Goswami says, because I have followed great souls like Shukadev Goswami, he says, what doubt is there for one who chants the name of the unlimited Lord that his parapta karma will be destroyed? In other words, chanting the holy name can transform the person who you are. Chanting the holy name can also take care of any type of parapta karma. Therefore, there is one spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when one of his disciples, when they were sick, he said, don't take medicine. Chant more. Because that illness, parapta karma, can go away if someone just chants. Now, I know amongst my audience today is a devotee who suffers from a very serious illness. This illness, when it spreads, is the cause of a early death. This devotee has tried various, has visited various doctors. This devotee has also taken Ayurvedic treatment. And the devotee sits on the chair and hears this lecture, and is an intelligent devotee. And the devotee will for sure think, well, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, but my parapta karma, that what is manifested, is the same or a little better. It's always good to think it's a little bit better, then it can become a little better. Is Sachinanda Swami serious in what he says? I mean, does he believe in the scriptures? He knows my case. He, in fact, advised me to try different medications. Is this just talk which we do in the Bhagavata lecture, or no, not? My dear devotees, it's a hard question. Because ultimately Krishna is independent, and sometimes he may choose to teach us a certain lesson by giving us a very heavy test and by keeping the test alive. But there are many cases where devotees have done this. I remember there was one Mataji in Germany who had a very, very advanced form of cancer. The doctors gave her one, it was either half a year or 1 year. This devotee came to the temple and, you know, just as an interested person, and heard a lecture where the lecturer claimed that Prarabdha karma can be changed by chanting Hare Krishna. And she started in all seriousness, knowing that she had only half a year to live. Now when she came to the professor in the Mainzer University Clinic, who had accompanied her through this very difficult cancer, the professor made a scan again and found out that the tumor, the cancer tumor, which apparently could not be removed with surgery, it was too large and too late, had not grown. This was very interesting news, because it was a fast spreading form of cancer. Then 1 month later, when she again came to scan, they found out that the tumor had gone back. And a few months later, the tumor had disappeared, gone, no longer there. And the devotee, this was such a news. In Germany we have a scandalous newspaper. It's called Bild-Zeitung. Maybe you have heard, it's very famous. Bild-Zeitung, it's the... No comment. It was on the first front page, you know, with letters like this. Cancer gone. And then a photo of the Mataji, and so-and-so reports that by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, cancer was entirely removed. Professors at the Mainzer University Clinic are in a shock. How could this happen? We interviewed Professor Know Everything. And then the interview and so on. Bild-Zeitung, the biggest authority for the not always very cultured Germans, carried this. So this is an unheard result, and the Bhagavatam uses this that Prarabdha karma, that is that which is manifested, like the body you got at your birth and the qualities which come with it, can be changed just by chanting the holy name. It's a very famous verse. There are very long commentaries on this verse and so on. This is a very, very amazing result, and I would encourage you to chant with all your heart and soul and body and mind and intelligence, and let the vibration of the holy name just wash through us. And what happens afterwards? I feel always this is up. This is one of these mystical things which are really divine and which are not under the control of any human being. Good. I have many other reasons why the chanting is sublime, but I think we should now go to some questions and answers which you have. I would like to see if you have any questions and try my best to answer them to your full satisfaction, hopefully. Not all at once, please. Yes, what is your good name?
Haridhar Kodar.
Oh, yes.
I live in Dubai and have come here for vacations. With my daughter, Adya.
Adya.
She always have a question. She wants to meet Krishna ji.
She wants to meet Krishna ji.
She wants to see.
She wants to see.
I don't know how to answer.
Yes. Can I see you, Adya? Oh, yes.
She is the very biggest animal lover, very emotional, nature lover. I think she is a very little child.
Adya, how old are you?
Seven.
Okay, then we need to answer this for a 70-year-old. I know what you think, Adya. We have many children who have asked me this. Let me see, Adya, what you think. See, on the altar, Krishna is there. He's very, very nicely dressed, and Krishna ji has three peacock feathers today, or I can see three, but maybe more in his head. If you want to see Krishna, he is there waiting for you. What do you think about this answer? Honestly, please say honestly, we are the family. It's difficult when in such a situation the child is blocked and cannot answer. Tika or not Tika? It's all right. That's all right. We have. When I was many children come to me and say, I want to see Krishna. And I always say, go to the altar. And they say, no. I have heard from my mother, father, that he plays. He always stands, does not move. I don't accept that this is Krishna. Many children, I remember once in Vrindavan, a child came and I gave this answer, and the child cried. Everyone is saying, but this is not in Krishna book, how my mommy reads it to me when I go in the night. That looks different. I once had a child, Adya, now listen very carefully. She was the same age as you, 7 years. Her name is Radhika. Radhika asked me, can you please show me Krishna? And I had before showed Krishna on the altar, and she said no. Then I said, what we can do, Radhika, is we can read Krishna book, and maybe Krishna comes to you in the night and then you see him in your dream. And we tried this. Before she went to bed, we read Krishna book, and then she slept. Next morning she said, Krishna came to me in the dream. And he was dancing and he was running behind the cows. So Adya, I think this is what you should do with your parents when you go back to Dubai. You should go before you sleep. Then you can read in the Krishna book, there should be a nice picture over the bed, and then Krishna might come to you in the dream. Do you think this is a good idea? Okay, this was a more convinced reaction. Good. Good. I have another idea. Let us do like this. If this works, good. If Krishna doesn't come to you like this, I can show you Krishna in another way. But that is a little bit more difficult. So let us first try the easy way with the parents, and then if it does not work, and next time we meet, maybe in Vrindavan or here or wherever, then you can ask me and we will do something else. Okay? Hare Krishna. For us grown-ups, Krishna can be seen with eyes which are treated in a certain way. See, without using this glass, I cannot read the text here. This morning Manohar asked me to read from my book, I believe it was Namamrita, and I said, I'm sorry, I would like, but without glasses I cannot read. So Krishna also cannot be seen so easy. You need some glasses or you need something, and what you need precisely is not dioptrine. It's got dioptrine. How do you say this? Dioptries or something? You need to have the love in the eyes. Only through eyes of love he can be seen. But sometimes children are not so complicated as we are. Sometimes, then I've seen many times Krishna made his appearance to children. He often comes, I have seen also, to devotees in great, great need who pray. I had one disciple in Belgrade, and he died, and very quickly he died. It was only a matter of 2 days, and he was dead. And I still regret it. I could not come and see him. It was just not possible to travel like this. And so I phoned him, and I said, the only thing I can tell you now is please pray to Krishna to give you whatever mercy he wants. This is the most important time in your life. I wish to be there and help you, but it's just not possible. So please pray to Krishna to give you his mercy, whatever he wants. And then I phoned him again only hours before his death. It went so fast. No one, even the doctors, had any explanation why it went so far. And he spoke with a very big voice, and he said, I don't know if you will believe me. I don't even know if I can believe myself. And then he cried so much that he said, I'm sorry, I cannot speak. Can we speak after half an hour? Don't put the phone down after half an hour. What is it? He said, I just don't know. I'm not qualified. But I had a vision of Krishna which was so overwhelming that now I am not afraid of my death any longer. I do not know if this was a real darshan. I don't claim that it was a real darshan. I only know my fear, my terrible fear of dying is no longer there, and I'm so blissful. I cannot, this all I know. I also will not say here in the public that he had a public darshan of Krishna, because that is seen as an impossibility nowadays. I don't claim this. What I'm saying is some mercy of Krishna came to him so that he lost his fear of death. That's all which can be said for sure.